And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup.
That old wheel.
We'll be back right after this song.
Roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And then again, we're right here at a Saturday coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. We're broadcasting on Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Quite a feat, really, when you think of the fact that we don't sell soaps and have money drives. It's done by the faithful support of the saints out there, and we're grateful. And I've got an honorary ranch wrangler with us today. Normally, our ranch wranglers, we have Just Jason, Right and Ready Richard, and Charismatic Smiling Cowboy Kyle. But looks like Jason couldn't make it. He's on a project. We got him on a project down in Colorado. So we got an honorary wrangler hooked up, and that's Paul back there in Michigan. You there, Paul?
Yes, I am.
So that's what we got for Radio Ranch Wrangler time. And what we do in this Radio Ranch Wrangler time is we just start broadcasting. We never know what direction we're going to go. Now, just as that song was ending, I did feel spirit led to go to a scripture. I think I'll start off this time with that scripture. I can tell you, all you Radio Ranch Wranglers and everyone listening, that I know exactly when Christ is coming. The Bible tells us, I read, "For this reason you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." That's when he's coming. But when he does come, next verse says this, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master puts in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" Of course, I'm working on that little scripture right about now on a Saturday morning, because tomorrow morning on Sunday we got to have another sermon coming from the pulpit of the LaPorte Church of Christ, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be preaching on, but it's got to be the proper food at the proper time, and this is the time known as the Day of the Lord. So pray for your preacher that the Spirit will lead him and he'll bring the right food at the right time. With that said, we'll let anybody say whatever they got to say here this morning.
Well, and just to comment on what you just read there, just because we don't know the exact day or the exact hour doesn't mean we're not supposed to be ready. I mean, we're supposed to be ready just like it's right now.
And most people are not ready.
No. Most people don't even know or don't even believe that he's going to be coming back.
Right. You know, Kyle and I were talking today. Of all the sermons you've ever heard preached, have you ever heard anybody preach on the concept of children of the devil? Have you, Paul?
Never. No, well, I've been listening to you for a long time. I've kind of walled the others off, though. I mean, but nobody ever talked about the devil.
Yeah, you know, the children of the devil. The Bible's very clear on it. And I bet you talk to the average Judeo-Christian out there, they'd look at you like some deer in the headlight look, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, that love thing has taken them over. Nobody hates them.
Yeah, and on top of that, the story of the tares. I bet you if you talk to the average Christian that's supposed to read his Bible, even claim to be a New Testament Christian, that he wouldn't have the slightest idea what you're talking about if you start talking about tares.
No. A man told me, well, that's the Old Testament. He said to me, I said this to him. I says, would you build a house without a foundation? You know, I said, this New Testament Christianity is absolutely insane because you don't even know what you're talking about. And that's exactly where they're coming from.
Good point.
Yeah, that is a good point, Paul. There's absolutely no foundation whatsoever. You know, they claim to know Jesus, but if you deny or don't read and don't study and don't have understanding in the Old Testament, you don't understand why he came, you don't understand who he came to,
right?
And you don't understand, you know, even in the why he had to go to the cross.
Well, I spend most of my time in Old Testament now.
We spend a lot more time in Old Testament now than we did in the early days, don't we? Do you want to go to prophecy, folks? Go to the prophets.
Well, how many times in the New Testament? I believe most of your Bibles, when you have when it has either all caps or isn't that usually a direct quote from the Old Testament? Usually in New Testaments,
I'm looking at it different ways in different Bibles. But
okay.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a New Testament here, even in Matthew. You know, Jesus talking in where I think were you reading Matthew 24 earlier? Is that where you were at? I had turned there as well, and you know, there's. He quoted the Old Testament, it seems like, just about as much as he spoke.
Well, that's
parables.
All he had was the Old Testament.
But, you know, it's not just that he came with all this new stuff. You know, he says, I think early in Matthew that, you know, he said, don't think that I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
The law and the prophets.
The law and the prophets. And so right
good
there.
Good point, law and the prophets.
Yeah, so right there, if you want to understand, you know, what he came, you've got to go to the Old Testament for understanding. But yeah, these New Testament Christians, they've got their one little niche, and that they're happy with their lie.
Kyle and I just took a trip. We were on the road for about a day and a half, and what was it? Was it on the radio or something? We turned the radio on, and one of these Baal priests preaching, saying, you know, something like, you're not trying to find God. God's trying to find you. You know,
yeah.
They come up with all kinds of lines out there, don't they?
It's just about all backwards.
Yeah, about all backwards.
Yeah,
you know, we're commissioned to seek after God.
It reminds me of, you know, many years ago when I first heard Pastor Peters. You know, he was the first guy I ever heard on the radio saying, you better forget about accepting God. You better make sure that you're accepted by God. You know what I mean? And it was just like, well, none of them ever say that, you know?
Right.
You know, it's always accept Jesus into your heart. It's never, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus isn't going to accept you if you keep living like that.
Right.
Well, Jesus, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to let you come into my heart. How about that, boy? Oh, thank you.
I always said it was like this. You're sitting in a nice warm house in a bad rainstorm out there, and somebody comes knocking on your door and says, oh, come on in, you know. Well, he's got the warm house. We need to get in. It's exactly twisted.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, it's always normally just the opposite.
Right. You know.
Did you hear about the earthquakes? I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday sometime. More earthquakes, 6.5 in Japan.
7.4 in Japan, yeah. And 6.5 in Mexico.
6.5 in Mexico.
7.4 in Japan, 6.5 in Mexico. That comes up to be
11.
Two earthquakes.
11.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't heard anything about the one in Mexico. I mean, I don't watch the news, but I haven't seen anything on email. I haven't seen anything on the news channels on the web, and heard just very little. All I heard about Japan was when you called and told me, Kyle. Yeah, Japan another earthquake.
I think they're gonna keep these things away from the public's mind as much as possible, because if you keep putting this out to the public, somebody's going to start thinking in their mind, maybe this is of God, and they don't want you thinking of God. The enemy doesn't.
Well, you back that all the way up to the global warming thing like that. God says, I control the weather. You know, in Amos he talks, he says, I'll turn your sky to bronze, your soil to iron. Well, everybody wants to blame something besides God. They don't want you looking in there for the answer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's all a diversion to keep, you know, God's wrath. When he says, I'm going to shake the earth, I think he's going to shake it so hard they can't deny it no more.
Well, you know, in Malachi it says, for behold, the day is coming. Behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant, and the Septuagint says aliens, and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. And one thing that sticks out in my mind in that scripture, he said it will be like a furnace. And how would a prophet of old explain radiation, the burning effect of radiation?
Maybe he would say it would be like a furnace.
Yeah, like an oven.
Like a flame?
Like a flame, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a little far out.
Yeah, we're far out here, Paul.
We are. Well, you know, I think you're right, Pastor, because even these some of these people still read their New Testament, and right where you were at in Matthew 24:7, nation will rise against nation. Well, it seems like we sure have that today. And kingdom against kingdom, sure seems like we have that today. And in various places, there'll be famines and earthquakes. And we've sure had the famines, and the earthquakes are right there. So just that one verse, and that's just the beginning of the birth pangs.
You know, on this thing of nations against nations, I was talking again to Kyle on our trip, and he brought up United Nations. He says, somebody, a soldier fights for the United Nations. Who's he fighting for? There's no nation known as United Nation. And I said, no, there's no nation known as the United Nation, and I don't know of any nations that are united.
Right.
So what is this United Nations, you know?
Yeah.
It's really crazy the world we're in.
They order NATO troops in. And
who are NATO troops? Are they American soldiers? Are they
sometimes.
Just
sometimes they're
combination
Americans.
Of a bunch? Or?
Yeah, the old, you know, the old, what was it, North American Treaty, whatever, I don't even remember what it stands for, left over from the Cold War. But yeah,
North American Treaty Organization.
Yeah, and they're sometimes they're British, sometimes they're, who knows?
Right, so if you say to the populace, we will not have American soldiers set boot on their land, but yet NATO goes in there and there's American soldiers.
No, those are NATO troops.
Right.
They might be Americans. They might be named, you know, John Smith and be from Hoboken.
And America might pay for all of it.
Right.
So where do these NATO guys live?
Exactly.
Is the planet NATO? Or?
That's a good one.
You know,
of course,
that's what's fun about this job is to make people think.
Right. Paul, what are your thoughts on, let's see, it's Saturday morning. Did the government shut down?
I haven't heard. I was sure hoping they did.
Yeah. I know I got a, you know, I've shared with you before, I on the volunteer fire department out here, mainly, and we have the Medicine Bow National Forest up here that is, you know, the forest is dead. The beetle kills come in and killed all the trees. So our local fire warden sent an email out on Friday about lunchtime and says, you know, if the government shuts down, there probably won't be any of the BLM forest fighters up there or firefighters or anything like that. So if there's a fire, don't really expect any of those guys to come out, you know, because they've got so much up there. And right now they're still just above La Porte, probably just a few miles from where we had our camp last year. There's a almost 3,000 acre fire burning there. And so I don't know I hadn't heard either if the government got shut down and they're not going to pay their people anymore.
Well, I've maintained that I wouldn't be surprised to see the day when that whole mountain range from Montana down into New Mexico is ablaze, because it's just one dry kennel pile of wood.
It is.
And I want to tell you something else on this beetle kill. I suspect it's been done by an enemy. I remember Jason was pointing this out. Jim Lynch said years ago when he was riding up in high country, you'd find these little boxes, like little baskets on the ground. So one day he looked in one and there was a bunch of bugs in it. And I think that it's very possible they drifted these things into and planted the beetle. They did the same thing when it comes to the tick Lyme disease problem. And they did the same thing when it comes to Girardia in the water. So I know it sounds far out, but when the Lord talks about being reserved for fire, of course, he's got it all under control. If you saw the Rocky Mountains where we're at, folks, the trees are dead up there from the beetles. Mm-hmm. And they're dry, and just a spark or two. And don't believe old Smokey the Bear. One time I saw a sign of his that says he was pointing his bear paw at me and the finger and said, only you can prevent forest fires. God starts forest fires all the time. It's called lightning.
Yep.
Yeah, we just had 15 homes burned down last weekend near Fort Collins, just up in the hills.
Yeah, you know? Right. It was not 5 miles from the camp we were at last fall.
Yeah.
And
that's right. That's just the small hills right next to the Rockies right there.
Yeah, 3,000 acres and 15 homes. And
this is Day of the Lord, men.
Now, it's Saturday, this April 9th? April 9th?
Yes.
So if the government shuts down, does that mean everybody that's going to put their little envelope in the mail on the 15th, they don't have to? Or?
Well, no, they still want you to send your taxes.
Oh, you still got to do that.
Yeah, still pay your taxes.
Well, where would you send it? The government shut down.
Yeah, they're probably opened up. Somebody was telling me the Pentagon had their money, and I'm sure the IRS, which I'm sure they'll be there. So,
well, they go through this every – they've been going through this for decades like this. It's all a big show. Well, let's have a little more coffee here. I got a little tune for you on coffee. This is Radio Ranch Coffee Time, folks.
Black coffee.
So good. I'm glad you like it, too.
Smells so lovely when you pour it, you will want to drink a quart of coffee. It's delicious all alone, it's also good with donuts, black coffee. Coffee stimulates your urges.
It's served in Lutheran churches.
Keeps the sweets and the Germans
awake through the sermon.
Have a pot of it today, I'm sure you'll say it's awfully good coffee.
And you never know what you're going to get here in the way of music. I just thought maybe Richard liked that song.
Oh, I like that. That was good.
I figure that's pretty fitting for coffee at the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
And no, that wasn't Jason singing.
I don't think it was his wife either.
No. No.
So what's going on out in Michigan, Paul? What's happening out there?
What's happening? Oh, I don't know.
Paul? You got a good scripture you shared with me here a while back on Isaiah. You want to share that?
Yeah, Isaiah. This is the problem the American people have. It's Isaiah 30, verse 1 through 3. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And I think you can take that Pharaoh and change that for Obama, or whoever you want to put in there. This has been a progressive thing.
You know, and what boy, that is fitting. And what brings that, what I thought of when you were reading that is, even if those guys, you know, because Pharaoh, he tried to, his heart started being softened. And God said, you've been this way for this long. I'm not going to let you soften your heart, buddy. Now, you're going to keep going, and you're going to keep going, and destruction's finally going to come upon you. So even if the kings of our day now, you know, even if they try to back out, it's not going to happen.
No, you know, God has a hook in their jaw too. They can't stop either.
Yep.
This is all about redeeming Israel and humiliating them. And say, you know, you've followed a false god. And I can see the day where the government would shut down and that Social Security check isn't there. We might need man out of the wilderness.
Yeah. You know, you're reading there, Paul, in verse 3. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame. How about that? Like you said, therefore, the safety of Obama will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, it says, and the shelter in the shadow of the government, your humiliation.
Absolutely.
And yeah, they, you know, where's it going to be now? You know,
I think it was current events. I mean, that just really struck me.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, they absolutely have nothing to give you that they didn't take from somebody else. We are about as socialistic as you get.
Yeah. Yep. Goes on in verse 5, says, everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them. And that's that nation within a nation that we have. They cannot profit our people, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. And they are here for, you know, to be shamed, and really for our shame, that... that our people look to, as the pastor has preached before, that, you know, our people continue to look to those that strike them, that aren't there to profit them, that aren't there to help them, but are there really to destroy them, and just to make our people think they're there to help.
Right. Go on to verse 10.
Who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Boy, isn't that just where they are?
That's true to me.
And then we talked about earlier how they've rejected Christ. Look at verse 12. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel. God says, since you have rejected this word, and who is the word? Jesus.
Christ. Yeah.
And they've just, and here, so right here in Isaiah, he's talking to them about rejecting Jesus Christ.
This may not be accurate, it's Old Testament.
I think, like you said, it's one of the most accurate things I've seen for current events, just the way things are today.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a nephew that was struggling one time, and I said, you read that Bible, and I said, you start in the book of Genesis. I said, everybody will tell you start in John. I said, then you read the law. And then you read the prophets, and I said, then you go into the New Testament. That's the practical application of all the prophets and the law. But, you know, so many people start in the wrong place. You know, they all want you in the New Testament, you know, the love stuff. But Genesis means origins, and that's where we all start. If you don't understand the Israel and who we are, you can't figure this book out.
Yeah.
And see... And God didn't want us to have a king. You know, you go back into Samuel, he didn't want us to have a king like the other nation. He wanted to have us Christian self-government.
You know what's fun to do sometimes is picture in your mind what the new world's going to be like. The Bible talks about the day of the Lord being like birth pangs. And a baby is very comfortable where he's at before he's born. The baby really doesn't appreciate the birthing process, I don't believe. But once he gets out, he would never want to go back. You know what I'm saying? And I think the same is true. Once we get out, we'll never want to go back. We will have a world that is so different. And we think so much like slaves, like the Israelites being in slavery in Egypt did, that we have a hard time picturing what real freedom is about. Just simple things. I was thinking about, for example, if I'm in the old days, if you wanted to be a barber, you stuck a sign out, got your pair of scissors, and you were a barber. Why, today you go to jail if you tried to be a barber without a license. You got to be a license. Now, you tell me why you have to have a license to be a barber.
You get a license and you got to pay your business tax. Don't forget that.
Right. And when it comes to this thing they're talking about, got to cut back on the budget and a deficit, this and that, there would be no deficit. None whatsoever. Zero. Zippo. If we follow the law of God, because all debt was canceled every 7 years, and every 50 years all the holdings went back to the people. Well, today we drove through Denver, and I was sitting there in the car, Kyle was driving, and I thought to myself, life is not supposed to be like this. Cars everywhere, and people live like this every day. And you have all this open space. If you just took the land that the government owns, everybody could have a piece of land and a house. But the concept of having their own place isn't even in their mind. They can't even grasp it.
Yeah. You know, I shared that very same thing with a young person here about just about a week or 10 days ago. I said, you know, the way things you see things and understand things are not the way it's supposed to be. And they cannot comprehend it.
They just can't.
You know, I was explaining just yesterday, my 10-year-old daughter asked just about that same question. You know, Dad, what's it going to be like in the kingdom? You know, are we still going to be your children? Or, you know, mom's still going to be your wife and this and that? And I said, well, you know, I said, it's going to be so much greater than it is now. We can't even imagine it. We just can't. I said, it's just like, my 3-year-old trying to imagine being married and having children and all that. It's just beyond the realm of what they can comprehend. And I think that we're to the point that kingdom will be the same way. It's just, it's more than we can picture. It's more than we can.
Well, one thing I've always thought it'd be fun to play is what I call a kingdom game. And that is, it's not a law unless God makes it a law. Think of all the laws we would get rid of if we just went to the law of God. Evidently, he didn't see that we had to have a law that forced children to go to public school, because he didn't set that up for the Israelites. He didn't have a law that said that you could only have one form of medicine dealt to you, called the AMA. I just talked to a doctor the other day, and he thinks he's got a cure for cancer, but he can't use it because he says, I don't look good in orange. Prison orange.
Yeah. Well, Laetril, they came out with Laetril, and what is that? They get that from what, apricot pits?
Yeah.
Peach pits? It does wonders on cancer, and it's outlawed. Right.
It's just too simple.
Yeah. Well, it works.
The simple is hard to have people grasp, isn't it?
Well, it brings me to the scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, all these things that are on us now, this great big huge chain that's around our neck is because somebody's greedy about something. You know.
And if you don't have it, it affects you.
Right. Well, a lot of times you think you don't have it. You know, I mean, we were in a church like you were, Paul, years ago, And I didn't even realize it was bondage till I got out of it. You know, I mean, I knew a little bit of it was, but when I got out, I'm like going, wow, I was in complete bondage there, but I wasn't willing to face it, you know, and call it that.
Free at last, free at last.
Oh, there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches that got their people in bondage.
Yeah.
It's a huge step to leave the religion that you're growing up as a child and found out it's deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, too bad the people will not read the next chapter up from what you read, Paul, in Isaiah. Isaiah 31:2. Yet he, capital H, meaning God, also is wise and will bring disaster. You know, that the people would read that and understand that he brings these disasters upon not only the wicked but upon his people to bring them to repentance.
Yeah, you got these Baal priests out here, you know, that, you know, you got 10 of them on the news, Fox or CNN or whatever, that call it Mother Nature, and then you'll have one guy that comes along and actually says, well, God's mad at these people for living a horrible life, and then the other 10 will jump on him, and instead of him saying, you know, Open up the Bible and saying, God causes earthquakes. God controls the waves of the sea. You know, and going to the Bible, he'll start spouting out something that makes us look like kooks. You know what I mean? So basically, they have this one guy out there, this Baal priest they put out in front of everybody, whether it's Glenn Beck or Hannity or whoever it is, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they'll say something that actually has some good meaning behind it, but then, you know, but then they won't back it up with the Word of God,
right,
which is what it needs to be backed up with.
And
good cop, bad cop.
And it's a way of training the people. If you take this kind of position, you too will be jumped on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And ostracized. And they know the sheep don't want that. Sheep are flock animals. They want to be part of the group. So they're trained on how to think, be politically correct. You know, on this thing of God causing things, with Japan getting hit again with a 7.4 earthquake, I mean, that's a major earthquake. Even though they're not reporting it much the second time, it occurred to me that I ought to take time sometime and talk about as to the possibility of why God is hitting Japan so hard. And I think the answer is this. The number 70 is an important number in Scripture. It's a time of completion. In 70 AD, God's wrath poured out on Jerusalem. Now, I think it was because of what they had done in crucifying his son. But he waited 70 years. Well, 70 years ago was 1941. And in 1941, those Japs, they killed, what, about 5,000 Israelites there at Pearl Harbor. Not to mention the thousands that they killed in the Bataan Death March. Uh-huh. And they were the most brutal, horrible of captors. It was a terrible thing what they would do to prisoners. And what they did to civilians in the countries that they conquered, they'd rape the women. They, for example, when they went into China, they rounded up the men's wives and daughters, put them in hotels, made brothels for their soldiers' enjoyment. And then they would take the civilians and use them as medical experiments. They were working, for example, on a death ray. It was like a microwave. They would stick human beings in front of them and fry them just to see how it would work. This is a known fact, although most people don't know it, what they did. But there's a thing in the Bible that says you cast your bread on the water, it'll come back to you after many days. The New Agers call it karma. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God, he pays back nations. And I think that now Japan is getting paid back. Do you guys think of that?
I think it's interesting. It's you never hear anything like that in the news. You never hear how wicked or how mean the Japanese were. You never hear anything like that.
Well, our forefathers knew.
Right, our forefathers knew. But what you do hear is how, you know, how evil, vile, wicked the Germans were in World War II. Now, you know, they'll sure put that out. You know, whether they were, you know, over a prisoner of war camp or Auschwitz
well, they
or
had,
somewhere
they
like
had
that.
War crimes for the Germans.
Yeah.
They didn't have one war crime for the Japs. And the reason they didn't, the way I understand it, this is what I've been told, is the Japs made a deal and agreed to turn over all their research that they'd done on human guinea pigs to the American government if they could forego the war crime trials. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. And well, if God did that, I mean...
There's an old term out there that I can only say this on the Radio Ranch Wrangler show, and that is, payback's a bitch. You know, because when it comes back around, it's not good at all.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, I've told this story before. I think I'll tell it again. Seems fitting here, but it was back about 20 years ago. I was on the road somewhere in a motel. It was over in Walden, Colorado. And I turned the TV on, and they were doing a documentary about the Pearl Harbor attack. It was in December. And they were interviewing older men that had been in the military. And there was this man, he was sitting in a yard chair in front of his RV. And they were interviewing him, and he'd gone on the Bataan Death March. Now, I've never heard this before and never heard it since. And I don't know if there were different groups on that Bataan Death March where they rounded them up, but he was in a group where there's a huge field, he said. And they had them all standing out in the field, and the Japs came in with tanks. He said they made a half moon, pointing those tanks at him, and they set up machine guns in between the tanks. And he said, we're standing there. Now, what do you think the GIs were doing when they were facing those machine guns? I maintain they were praying. And see, they were Israel. And they may not have known it, but their God is the God of Israel. And then this man, as he's telling the story, he stopped. He got choked up, and tears started coming to his eyes, and he tried to get his composure again. And he said, that's when it happened. Of course, I'm sitting right there on the edge of the bed now, wanting to know what happened here. And he said an earthquake hit that was so powerful there wasn't one GI left standing. And when it was done shaking, the tanks had completely turned around the opposite direction and had crushed the machine gunners in between the tanks. And he said the officers were so shook up at what had happened, they went ahead and ordered them to start marching. Quite a story, huh?
Yeah.
That is.
Well, I think that it's coming back around on them. Obviously, God is quite angry with them. And it's not over with, obviously.
No. It may just be beginning.
Yeah.
Just beginning. Like those birth pangs we've heard of.
What's the weather like in Michigan, Paul?
Today it's sunny and very nice. It was raining this morning, but it's nice. It's going to warm up.
Is it windy there, Paul?
Not at the moment.
Well,
I tell you what.
Here at the Radio Ranch, we don't have to worry about that. It's always windy.
It's always windy here. So just wait. The wind's blowing that
this
way.
This is a very unusual day. The wind isn't blowing today.
It's really, for now, it's very calm. It is. Quite pleasant.
We got a Wyoming song. I think I'll play it. We'll be back.
When you think of old Wyoming, there's a cowboy on his horse. Cattle drives the prairie and Yellowstone, of course. When I heard a cowboy singing about Mother Nature's violin, the last thing that came to mind was that Wyoming wind. That Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind. It just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind. Now it blows long, it blows hard, why? hell, it never stops. Heard it made the mountain lion when it flew off the leopard spots. A gentle Wyoming breeze, well, that's a hurricane down south. It'll rip your lips, give you fits, and charge right through your house. That Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind. Now on a day of no wind, a conundrum, that's for sure. Sand and dust blown in your eyes, well, that's just an overture. And I'm told a plastic surgeon learned how to dermabrade when a blast of that Wyoming wind scraped across his face. That Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind. Now some say it's romantic as it carries a coyote's tune. He's just crying for his mate that it flew up to the moon. And if you wanna whisper sweet nothings in your darling's ear, well, you'd better have a bullhorn just so she can hear. Now that Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming. Tell you boys the windiest day that I ever can recall. I went outside in the spring sunshine and it blew me to next fall. Now I have done the best I can in truth and metaphor to tell you about that Wyoming wind. Now someone shut the door. Now that Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind. Now that Wyoming wind, oh, that Wyoming wind, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind. Oh Lord, will it ever stop, that Wyoming wind? Oh, it just keeps on blowing, that Wyoming wind.
Yeehaw!
And this is Coffee Time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers from the Wyoming Radio Ranch. I run across that, and it's so true. I think my men here will agree. Boy, the wind blows in Wyoming all the time.
That it does. That yeah. It does.
Well, Paul, feed us some more Paul Moderman wisdom.
Well, I don't know. I sat there listening. You got to prime a pump. What do you want to hear?
Well, we're going to have a moment of silence while you come up with something.
Well, you put me on the spot.
Yeah.
A warning. Well, you know, I was thinking about that, too. You know, you got wind there. You know, we have a lot more trees. We have upper-level wind, but we don't. We got lots of wind, but it's nothing like you do because it's so wide open out there. And you're talking about the weather. I talked to a man in Washington State this morning. They have had really nice weather out there. It might be the peace before the storm. So.
Well, you know, folks, this is the time Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? The remnant will be faithful and not in fear.
Amen.
He knows how to deliver. He knows how to take care. He knows how to provide. I'd hate to live in this time right now and not be his. You got enough time, if you're listening out there somewhere, to enter the rock, that is, become a Christian. You do that by being baptized into Christ. He is our rock. And you have enough time to enter the door and close it. The second Passover is May 2nd. And we have a booklet called Lunar Lunacy versus solar sanity, or solar sanity versus lunar lunacy is the way it is. Take it seriously, the things that this preacher's been preaching along those lines. We are in the day of the Lord time. Got to keep putting that out. Put the proper food out.
Yeah, there's, you know, if you can't read the signs, the shaking of the earth and all the destruction from New Zealand and every place else we have this year, God definitely is angry. And, I don't think they're even coming close to reporting what's going on with earthquakes.
No, I don't think so either.
It's been a few months, but I looked at all the earthquakes around the world, and the place and the map looked red. I don't know where it was or what it was. I got it off your news thing one time, and there's just a huge amount of this stuff going on, and the news media today is keeping us from thinking of the Lord. You know, global warming, everything, there's just a diversion because they don't want us to repent. The devil wants to take as many with him as he can.
I was reading the other day, Jason gave me an article of a lady that she had to close down her gardening because she didn't have a permit in this particular area. She had a garden. She always sold produce. That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but it came to my mind.
Well, it ties in, I think, what you were saying earlier about the laws. That, you know, how many, you know, why would someone need a, it's just unimaginable that you would have to have a permit, that there's a law about growing your own vegetables, growing some vegetables to sell on the roadside, have a little roadside stand. If you got bad vegetables, eventually people won't stop. It takes care of itself. Like you mentioned about the barber, you know, if you hang a barber sign up and, you know,
and people can't cut hair,
the people don't come back, your barber sign's not going to be up for long. You're going to close up and go do something else.
A term that was common about the generation before me is that they you're going to hang your shingle out.
Yeah, where are you going to?
They didn't say anything about getting a college education or a license. They just said you're going to hang your shingle out.
Well, the concept of being able to have your own business now is completely out of a young person's mind.
Right.
They're looking for jobs.
Right.
And if they did try to get their own business, I've watched the system. They have so many rules and regulations, they'll shut you down. Mm-hmm. Private entrepreneurs, they shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be able to do a Subway. You know, something that you can buy into, and then everything is just regimented. It's just you do this.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
right in entrepreneurs. Yeah, you can't.
Well, I watched it here in Laramie. There was a fellow a few years ago, and you could tell he was really into what he did. He wanted to make organic food. He had soups and salads, and he set up. He had a really nice, decent little restaurant. Remember that? It's over there across from. I can't remember. Anyway.
Oh, right down by the railroad, by the tracks.
Right.
Right on the corner.
And the next thing you know, the fire department comes in and does an examination, says he's got to change a hood and stuff like that in the kitchen. Been there for years and years and years. It's going to cost him $30,000, all that they were putting on him. He couldn't do it. They closed him down. I watched it down in Fort Collins once. A young man wanted to... he really took pride. He had organic wings, and he set things up running his own store, and they come in there with something, they closed him down. And I saw it like 30 some or more years ago when I was in the lending business. There was a young man that wanted to have a firewood business, just cut firewood and split it and sell it. Why, they came in there and started doing examinations, and he had extension cords that didn't meet code, and he had this and that. They harassed him so bad he went out of business. This has been going on all over the country. They've closed down people. There was a young man that wanted to start a little club for teenagers. No alcohol or anything like that, where the kids get together and that type of thing. Well, it couldn't meet code. They come in there, did this and that, shut him down. goes on all the time.
It does.
Well, the funny thing is, a lot of your neighbors are involved in that, and they're just doing their job.
Well, they became commies.
Right. But they're more afraid of Caesar than they are their neighbor, preserving their neighbor's business and livelihood.
Yeah, if you, you know, they get all these things out on the, they even send newspapers out that say who is listed as a contractor and who is not, you know, and they'll give you the Better Business Bureau number to call. Like, if you have somebody come out and do work on your place and he does a great job, you know, they still want you to investigate, find out if he's licensed, bonded, and everything, or they'll put you out.
And that's for your safety.
Yeah,
it's that's for your help. Yeah.
But, you know, they can have a license and a bond. They do crappy work. Oh, they're fine, you know, because they went through the process and they did whatever they want. You know,
they paid their money. They're part of the Masons downtown. They got their little handshake and their wink or whatever it is. Paul, it goes right back to what you read earlier, Isaiah 30, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit. And these people are not for help or profit. These laws, these statutes, these judgments, they're just, as you said, Kyle, more, yeah, I think you were talking about money and debt, but it's just more, literally more slavery, more
bondage.
Chains,
yeah.
More bondage.
Well, basically it says they have nothing to offer you.
Right. Yeah, they have nothing for profit, just more bondage.
Right. And then you turn to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty profound thing, that whole area of the Bible there.
Well, just think about it. Let's say the government did close down. They stopped the Social Security checks. They stopped all the state funding for all these, you know, freeloaders out there, or the ones that even deserve it. But, you know, the problem is the people, will they turn to God? Well, if you go by their track record, no. They're going to beg the same guys that are doing that to them to help them out.
To come back. Start doing it again. I was thinking about that earlier, and I thought, you know, if it does shut down and they stop handing out all these free benefits to the illegals and that type of stuff, that they'll probably go home.
Oh, yeah, if you're a Saxon, you're not going to get it. That's pretty cut and dried.
Yeah, you know, the man, you're so maybe that'll help.
You're saying if the illegals don't get it, they'll go on home?
Yeah.
Well, maybe let's pray for that then.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, I saw a track many years ago. It came out shortly after, in the early 1900s, and it was a church track. A man had found it in an old Bible or a book. He showed it to me. And this track was, the church was upset and trying to warn Christians that the government was taking over the job of the churches, and that was the welfare work to help the poor. So I take it from that there was a time when the churches helped the poor. And if you look at what the law of God is, there also is a thing called gleanings. Mm-hmm. They've outlawed gleanings now.
Yes.
Let's just say you were a poor person and you wanted to go down to the restaurant at the end of the day, and they're getting ready to throw away some of their salad and stuff they didn't use. They can't give that to you.
Pastor, I can't get it for the chickens.
You can't even get it for chickens?
I've talked to the grocery stores. Now, even a couple years ago, I was able to. I'd go in there and I explained it to them. You know, I said, I've got chickens. They love, you know, it's hard to get vegetables up here for them. And for about a month, I was able to get, you know, I was going to a restaurant. I was going to one of the grocery stores, you know, because they just grind it up and throw it down the sewer. And then the restaurants, they either do that or they have to throw it in the dumpster and pay to have it hauled away. And got it for a little bit, and then management or somebody found out, nope. Now here, this provides a service. It cuts down on their sewage. It cuts down on the trash that they have to pay to haul away. And it does a good thing. It helps everybody involved. Nope, can't do it.
I know a fellow that came from a very poor family, big family. And this one bakery always gave them their old bread. Mm-hmm. You can't do that now.
No.
Between taking away they took over the welfare. They stopped the gleanings. And I think that if everything deteriorated again, we would make it. People would help one another. Churches, instead of building these huge mammoth churches, would have a program of helping. In fact, Salvation Army, before it got infiltrated, was a great help to people.
I went to a church, the church I was raised in, and a legitimate charity case came to the board, and they wanted help. They were just simple people, and they definitely needed some help. Well, that church proceeded to send them to social services.
Well, it does get complicated with the terrors in society. Now, I used to, in the early days of LaPorte Church of Christ, anybody that came for help, we helped them.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And it finally got so that I was having somebody every week.
Well, word gets out. It's not the people that are, they're not just traveling through. You know, it's like there's a, I learned my lesson up here in town, you know, here, same thing. You know, you pumping gas at Safeway and a guy comes up and, hey, you know, can you spare some money, whatever. So yeah, you help him out. Well, then you see him there the next week.
Well, yeah. In this case, I found out that the hobos, you don't call them hobos anymore, but they have a circuit and they run into each other. They'll say, hey, if you're going up such and such, it's a good place to hit this mm-hmm. and that. Mm-hmm. And so I did an experiment. I started saying no to everybody. And once I did that, it all dried up.
They have a place in Portland. They call it Tent City. And the so-called homeless live in tents, and they designate a certain part of the city for these homeless. And they load these guys up in cars every morning, and they start driving them out to off ramps and intersections all over the city. And then come, let's say they take them out there at 6 a.m. Well, then come noontime, they have like a switch, you know, they'll put a new guy there, you know. It's all a job for them to beg for money, so it is hard to know, you know, yeah. who's in yeah. need. I mean, and they love to live like that. Me and my uncle was driving down the road one day, you know, and we're going down an off-ramp that stop and go. Well, we got to the homeless guy that's holding up a sign, will work for food. It's all the sign said. My uncle says, hey, I'll give you a job for $8 an hour. The guy on the off-ramp says, I make more than that here. You know?
Well, this is Babylon, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like you said, Pastor, it's hard to discern because the tares are so intermixed.
Right. Oh, it's going to be wonderful when the tares are removed again. Yeah. It really is.
Yes. But in the case I'm talking about, the management was twice the sons of hell. They loved the system, too, and they didn't want no job because those were simple people. They were malicious people.
Yep.
They just needed some real help. And somebody yep. could have sat by and helped them manage their money because he was working. They just couldn't manage it. But the management loved the system, too. They didn't want to be bothered with it. So.
Yeah.
Well, men, we're about out of time. This is what we do at Radio Ranch Wrangler Goodness. Coffee Time. We just turn on the radio mic here at the Radio Ranch, and we just start talking. Every one of them seems to take on a different characteristic. Appreciate Paul being our honorary Radio Ranch Wrangler for this Saturday morning. Like I said, Jason couldn't be with us, and Lord willing, the preacher you're listening to will have a sermon for you tomorrow. I think it's one that, if I go the way the Holy Spirit's leading, it's going to be dealing with this very thing of radiation and the world and fire. Keep us in your prayers. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, men.
Yep. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay
hide.
Ha!
Ha! Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, big high.